This is March 21st, and the next meeting will be April 25th, 1993, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, then, my friends, good morning. And I think I would like to try to answer a few of the questions that you have been kind enough to present, and hope to tie some of them together and to expand them into a larger theme. The one question, again and again, comes in two parts. One is that some of you have been experiencing an increase in the voltage of the energy within your physical bodies. And for some of you, this has been sweet and gentle, but that's the exception. I think for most of you, it has come in bursts and can be accompanied sometimes by unease, by dis-ease, by a sense of ants crawling along your arms and legs and so forth. Sometimes with increased heat in the bottom of your feet, in your hands, sometimes just your whole physical vehicle has an intensity that you're not familiar with. And when you go to your mind, certain things present themselves, such as, good grief, what's happening? Am I having a very quiet heart attack, or is something else going on here? Or you can go to the opposite and become very, very new age and get very overly impressed with the event. Do you understand? You know, so what we'd like to talk about that, because most of you need to really, I got a marvelous letter from a woman who described what was happening to her very clearly, and the indication was just wanting to understand, and then secondly, what to do about it. Now, at the same time, we have to, as we discuss what's happening to the physical body, we have to expand it past just yourselves and get into the global situation, because they very definitely come together. We told you when we began this journey some, what is it now, 14 years, however long, years ago, to watch for certain things. And on the physical sense of things, to watch for, and especially in this area, an increase in wind velocity. And if you've noticed, that's happening. Lots of wind increase all over the face of the globe. And at the same time, we asked you to become aware of the increase in the number of lifetimes that you're cramming into one life. Do you understand what I mean? You are cramming a lot of lifetimes into one life. Now, this can result in perhaps having 5 or 6 jobs, from beginning to, you know, from birth to death, 5 or 6 lovers or husbands or wives, 2 batches of children, some this age, some that age, do you know, lots of different things, going through having money, losing it, getting it back again, not having money, getting it, and hoping to hang on to it. Health, sometimes people have been very definitely finding that they are able to move from being ill to being well. Let me say that again. Many people are finding they're able to move from being ill to being well. And as you begin to look at all of these changes in your life and compare it, if you would, say, to someone who is in their 90s, their experience of their early years and your experience of yours are tremendously different. You know, the old days of the nice, long summer afternoons. Remember those days? The long and lazy summer days. Well, my friends, if you've looked at your own summers, I think you will realize that those days, unless you go to tremendous extent to make them happen thusly, are very much on the move. You are all of the, if you've tried to keep a list as they have at tapes and transcripts, of the addresses of all of you, you will find out that you are on the move. Because every month, often, the same person, please change my address, please change my address, I've moved it, not only within the state, but out of the state and out of the country and who knows, you know, away. So, all when you begin to look realistically at the situation, which is one reason for the selection of the topic of the personal myth for the second workshop this summer, you are on a very heroic journey, both as yourself, as an individual, but in a vaster sense, as a planetary experience. Now, we told you, and I know it made you very uneasy, that this is an experiment. Now, there are people who keep saying, for example, people who sign up for the so-called Bartholomew tours, they call up and they say, well, I'm not worried about going to wherever because I'm sure that Bartholomew will make sure that nothing happens to me. I would like to state categorically that that is never the intention. In the event that something goes wrong, I will be there and will do what can be done to aid and expand and ground and make clear. But the idea that any energy is here, this or any other, to keep you safe from all of the exciting possibilities of your life is to really minimize the mystery and the wonder of this adventure that you're on. And that is the theme that we'd really like to keep going back to in all of these remaining times we have together. There is a mysterious, wondrous excitement about all of this, your own personal life, and the expanded sense of mankind, humankind, at the same time. Now, because there is no knowing with any absolute what the end result of this is going to be, does not in any way change the absolute delight of the fact that you are doing this. For example, the idea that you would never enter into a friendship if you knew that it wasn't going to end in the way that you had in mind is very foolish. You enter into whatever is appropriate at the moment, you expand out of that, you put yourself fully and completely into it, and the ending time of it is really of no concern. What you have to understand is whatever happens on this planet, in whatever way, you are as a conscious awareness are on a journey that far transcends this global experience that you are upon. The global experience is a part of it, absolutely. You do feel that and know that. But the knowing inside of you that whatever happens, people come and they're very frightened about projected difficulties for the earth plane. And we answer in the same way every time. I say it yet again. The excitement of the journey is absolutely essential. What happens at any given time, if you have learned the most rudimentary rules of awareness, will be absolutely magnificently useful to you. What I can promise absolutely is that you will not undergo any event that you do not deeply within the matrix of your being know is absolutely maximum for your fullness of awakening. That does not mean that you are going to be, in your words, safe. And if you begin to look at it, this is not what you want. You do not really want to think that from now on until the day you die that you are going to be safe, because this means, probably for most of you, an excruciating sense of boredom. Because being very, 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 very safe is also usually means you're very, very, your life has become very, very, very narrow. Now you say, but God is helping me. So where does the God awareness fit into all of this? All right, so here we go. The matrix, there is a matrix of awareness deeply pulsating every moment within the framework that you call time-space. Now, when you observe your life and compare it to, say, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and the rituals of the peoples and the daily round of their events, the short lifespan that they lived, all of these things, you intimately sense and know that there is an acceleration going on. We told you 14 years ago that one of the reasons for the manifestation of this particular experience called the Bartholomew experience chose this time frame. Well, it had various reasons. One, Mary Margaret could cope with it, which was rather important. And second is that as the events begin to heat up here, what is happening is there is a tremendous increase in the amount of energy that is being given to, or coming down onto, or whatever words you want to use, to the face of this planet. And so, of course, things are going to speed up. And as you begin to understand the excitement of that, the wondrous delight of that, then those physical manifestations, such as energy in the hands, sometimes pleasing, sometimes not, the different body changes, the different things that happen in the physical sense, if you've also noticed, a lot more of you, through not only through therapy, but just spontaneously, are beginning to have awarenesses of what you would perhaps call your shadow side. Another way of putting this, if you're paying attention, your dream life has probably accelerated a lot, meaning that the dreams are coming faster, you're having more of them in a smaller, shorter time span, and they will tend to present you with more available data should you be willing to receive it. What all of this is saying is these are the most exciting times, and how you choose to integrate with them is going to be the difference between you leaving, whenever your moment is to leave, with a greater light in your mind and a greater warmth and love in your heart than you came in with. In the end, that is the only job. How much more light is in your mind and how much more love is flowing out of the heart. Now, I want to say again, we've said this often, this does not mean that you have to all register at the University of New Mexico and begin to take courses in quantum physics and so forth, unless that happens to be something that delights your being. What we are talking about when the light in the mind is to actually ask you to take very seriously the excitement about this magnificent something that's in the matrix. I've asked you to puzzle all these years, taken a slice of history, say 500 years ago, and if we were to have asked the people how many of them were interested in enlightenment, they would say, what is that? With very few exceptions, with very few very specified groups of people who were seeking that, the great majority of people were not interested in such a subject. That is simply not true today. Now, this energy that is coming in greater intensity, please hear this, many of you are getting discouraged. You are feeling that you've been working at this and working at this, and you're not getting it, or things aren't getting any clearer, and you are beginning to observe more of your shadow and taking judgments against yourself. Example, if something very emotional happens in your life, and something disperses, such as a marriage, or your children aren't speaking to you, by the way, that's quite natural, you know, that your children aren't speaking to you. They probably would have done it earlier if they thought they could get away with it, you see, so don't worry about it. Just hang on and all's well, all's well. Because you have to understand that these children are also going through 5 or 6 lifetimes, which is what I'm saying. If you have a child that is on drugs, and you are despondent by that, you have to understand basic things. And one of them is that they can live a lifetime of drugs within a very few years, see the reality and the situation very clearly, take from that experience what is needful, and then move on to a totally different life, which you may or may not approve of either. But nevertheless, they will move on. So the idea that you are all extremely excited by creative potential is what we're looking for here. And I do not care if you are 80, I don't care if you are 90. If you have noticed, some of you are more alive more excited by your own self and your own awareness at 80 than you were at 20. Now, the wonder of all of this is simply to bring forward the asking that you pay attention to your own life. Now you say to me, of course I'm paying attention. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you're paying attention to not getting what you want when you don't get it. And I think you're paying attention to trying to hang on to what you have got when you want it. I think you're paying attention to your pain and your pleasure, but I do not think that you are standing back, many of you, far enough from your life in order to get a historical sense of your own life and in relationship to the larger picture of the historical magnificence that's going on at this time. It is very easy when you look at the planetary and global situation to become filled with dismay, to become filled with fear, to become very anti-human being. It is very easy, and so the tendency then is to turn off the universal mandala of the television and simply let it go and just concentrate on something else. Do as you wish about that, but I want you to understand you are not walking this life out of context. You are walking this life in an immensely magnificent context, and whether human awareness ends up keeping this planet together or not is not the issue. The issue has always been, how aware can millions upon millions of so-called separated energy fields, how can they all begin to work together in such a way that there are fewer and fewer areas of separation and greater areas of communication and communion and blending. Now, taken from that point of view, the blending of groups of people, I want you to look again at your history, your own personal history, contrast it to other people's lives who are perhaps even dead and gone on to some other excitement, and you will realize that what you have done is you have broken down barriers again and again and again with varying groups of people until you believed and trusted a common bonding, and then you awaken and say, well, thank you, I've learned this, and off you go to another, which is, of course, what you will all do in 2 years or whenever, when we finish. You will all, many of you will have gone on to other wonderful expressions of deep and intimate bonding with energy fields and people and so on. This is the way it is, and it is magnificently so. And as you begin, and I ask you between now and the next time we meet, that you begin to look at your life as a magnificent historical and heroic motion through consciousness. When you begin to claim for yourself the victory, and then you'll begin to appreciate yourself in greater extent. Now, what do we mean by the victory? The victory, quite frankly, has nothing to do with how attractive you are, how much money you have, what kind of house you live in. All of those things are whatever they are. A victorious life is one that is being lived with an ever-increasing awakenedness, with an ever-increasing watchfulness, not in the sense of Big Brother is watching you, but in the sense of this moment is filled with so magnificently much potentiality, my own and other, that I need to stay awake. To stay awake. In the earliest teachings, they ask you to awaken, and the awakening process is not something that happens in one moment. It is something that happens again and again and again. In our way of sharing this, and there are other ways, Absolutely. And our way of sharing this means bringing yourself out of the squirrel cage of your mind and putting yourself very definitely in the moment. If the moment requires that you be thinking deeply, then you put everything else aside and be aware of thinking deeply. Become that mental process. If it doesn't require that, if there's nothing to do but sit and breathe, and then sit and breathe and be fully in it, in the moment, in the breath, in the hearing, in the seeing, in the presence of the present. And whatever is called for, you bring all of your awareness to it in a majestic choice, instead of just kind of blindly moving through your life. You begin to awaken to paying attention. And as you look at this, you will realize that as you are spontaneously running into what you would call your shadow material, you're going to have a side effect. And I must say this because this applies to many of you in this room. Many of you in this room. Because you have begun to observe yourself with honesty and humor, hopefully, certainly with honesty, you are finally beginning to catch on to the very selfish drama, the very selfish drama that you are engaged in. And as you begin to be aware of this, you begin to understand how it is that if you can be so selfish in your life, you can understand how countries can be selfish. You can understand how groups within countries can be selfish. You will begin to look at situations with deeper compassion and understanding, and the light of being willing to see yourself fully begins to dawn. And part of that experience is very uncomfortable. It is very uncomfortable. People come to me in the past when we did private work, and they wanted one thing. I never want to be uncomfortable again. And then I said, then go shoot yourself. Actually, I was never quite so rude, but the idea being that when you understand, looking deeply at what you really want in this life, you will come to a clear understanding that it isn't the extraneous material things which are constantly bombarding you as want me, want me, want me. You see, you think that it's only one way, that you're going down and looking at the Mercedes and saying, I want you, I want you. Well, I want to tell you something. The Mercedes is also saying, I want you, I want you. You see, there is a very magnificent coming together on the material plane, and it's all based on barter. On you give me this and I'll do this. It's back and forth. It goes between the different planes of polarity on the planet. And that's the way the manifest world is, and that's fine. But when you begin to examine your life with that quiet, intense determination to see it as it is and to not lie to yourself, whatever you say to the outside world, then there is that place where you begin to feel that you really are not as magnificent as your ego would like you to think you are. You begin to see and claim the dance between the positive and the negative, which is what makes up a tremendous amount of your mental and emotional focus unless you're paying attention. And when you rest willing to observe it and to stop scolding yourself and for heaven's sakes quit trying to be perfect, you will begin to understand what is going on, and that brings light to the mind. You will begin to understand that moment after moment you flow from praise to blame, and then from blame to praise. Some of you are trying to stop that motion and just think praise, 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 praise. My friends, if you jump in there and try to take a hold of that energy and force it to go in one direction, then we have to bring up such ideas as allowing the sea to only move in one direction. It either moves onshore or offshore. In either case, it's a disaster. The thing that makes the ocean the magnificent vehicle that it is that it moves both ways. The thing that makes breathing so magnificent is that it moves both ways. It is in and out. And when you begin to understand the basic nature is this movement between things, and that these things are constantly changing, then you begin to relax. The ocean does not expect the beach to look the same on Tuesday as it does on Wednesday. And it doesn't go on Wednesday, good heavens, the beach was better on Tuesday. This is terrible. We have to fix the beach so it looks like it did Tuesday. How are we going to get all those parts and put them back? I don't know where they are. I haven't any idea who's hiding them. Well, we have to ask God to put them all back. You understand, it's this kind of letting go. The ocean lets go and allows it to do what it is and begins to absolutely teach you something if you're paying attention. All of the things of this seemingly dual world become very interesting if you will please take your hands off. Meaning you are trying to force one end of it, and in so doing, you are missing the magnificent motion of the between. And I realize I'm speaking against a lot of traditions. I realize that. And I must tell you, my friends, we don't have a lot of time. And if you want to get it, you're going to have to start paying attention. And you're going to have to be aware of the motions of the tidal motion of your being between the polarities of praise and blame, of like and dislike, of good and evil, and allow yourself. You see, you have been taught that if you are have any evil in you, whatever that means, it usually means you're not following somebody else's rules. And you know what trouble you get in when you do that. So if you're not following these rules, this is an evil act, and you jump in and you try to change yourselves. I have told you again and again, do you really think that there is a place on this planet, that there is a group of people more loving and compassionate than the people in this room? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I've been to many places on this planet, and I don't think so. I think that in rooms like this, and other rooms with the same kind of focus, differing, of course, but with the same intensity to bring light to the mind and love to the heart. All of those integrated works that have integrity and clarity behind them, in all of those groups, I do not think there are pockets of people better than that. So in the desire to try to be a perfectly good person every moment of your life, you are bashing your head against a wall. Now, when you begin to watch the ebb and flow of, ah, that's a nice thought. Oh, that's not a nice thought. Oh, that's a nasty thought. Oh, well, that's a loving thought. You begin to watch. What you begin to understand is that this is going on all the time, and you begin to understand that you and everybody else on the planet is doing the same thing. That they, you see, you have this idea, some of you, that all these other people are doing good, 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 good. Or bad, 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 you know. And when you begin to see in yourself the tidal flow, one moment they can smile at you and the next moment they can growl. And then you say, don't growl at me. You don't love me if you're growling at me. Of course, yourself have perhaps within the last hour grumbled, either verbally or at least mentally or emotionally. And you begin to put tremendous stress on your relationships, both of all kinds of relationships. And this incredible stress is saying, outside, you say to your world, you have to treat me in a certain way in order for me to love you. And I want you to know that that is not where your love is ever going to arise from. Where will real love arise? You all know this. Let's just remember. Real love will begin to surface, will begin to bubble up from the depths of your being when you take your hands off and begin to be the observer of your ever-shifting point of view, from sunny to cloudy to snow to disaster. Whatever is going, as you begin to watch this in your own mind, to begin to watch the emotions in the same way, to watch the thoughts and then the subsequent action around the thoughts. What you begin to form, and there was a question about this morning, you begin to experience each moment as being much more spacious. Now, I mean spatial. I am not talking about some idea. I am talking about you begin to feel that there is more empty space around you than there was before. One sign of people who have difficulty in their mental balance is that the space around them is packed. Understand? It is packed. It is packed with things they can see and things that they cannot see. Things that they can feel and things that they don't understand. Things that they can intuit. They cannot, do you understand? It's a packed moment. And whichever way they turn, there is something. There's some feeling of pressure, of being in a packed space. And this is why it is so incredibly difficult to take someone like that and incarcerate them in what? In a small space. The very thing that they do not need is the thing that is forced upon them. So they are forced into a smaller space, which is already their difficulty. You understand? It's already the difficulty. They don't have enough space. There isn't enough sense of emptiness, of openness, in order to let them relax and to begin to feel life. Now, the answer to this is the same as it has been to everything that we have ever talked about, so let us go back to it yet again. You simply have to begin to watch. And you watch and you are aware of watching. You are listening to your thoughts. You are paying attention to the motion of your body. You are paying attention to the rise and fall of your breathing. You are aware of seeing. You are absolutely aware of hearing. You are grounded in the moment. Someone who is grounded in the moment. You know, in the beginning of the New Age, it was considered wonderful if you were out of your body and floating around somewhere. And it was a sign of some kind of progress along the path if you were, I believe the word is airy-fairy, if you were just up and out, you know, and the ozones and in the ethers and so on, you know, kind of floating. That's fine, but that is not what transformation is about. Transformation takes place in the physical body with all of the faculties absolutely alive and functioning in the moment. And when you understand that the only thing that you need is the one thing you have, which is this moment, then you begin to relax. Even under the greatest stress, however stressed you might be, your answer is still the same. Stop thinking, get in the body, start breathing, become aware of this body, and allow as you sit in the moment, aware of your breathing, allow all of the confusing or frightening thoughts and information and future and past to rise and fall, and you simply sit in the moment, and you begin to take what I like to call the Buddha posture. You know what that means. It is that magnificent posture of being seated with your spine soft but erect. Your body is clearly present. Your breath is clear. Your eyes are focused. You are not somewhere lost in the future. Mostly in the future, worried about the possibilities and the probabilities. Therein lies terror. To sit here in the moment and project yourself into possible futures, 99.9% of which will never happen, is to only increase the entire dilemma. The answer is the opposite. Get out of the thoughts. Get into the body, become very, very clear about this feeling that you have, this body, and as you begin to train yourself, then the thoughts begin to rise and fall. You can feel the emotion rise and fall. You can begin to feel, for example, if you're in a moment of terror, what is the absolute best thing is to begin to ask yourself, how does terror feel in my body? And then you talk about it. My throat is constricted. I don't mean you make up stories. Well, in my last lifetime, I was hung by the neck, and that's why I have this constriction in my throat. I mean, that may be so, but it's not very helpful. What is helpful is to begin to speak to yourself, my throat is tense, My pulse is rapid. My breathing is going up and down. My stomach feels very, very tight. I find that I'm curling my toes. All of this, the simplicity of the moment, is what brings you out of those vortexes of terror that would like to sweep you up because they're active. The answer is the simplicity of quieting down. And this does not mean that you run to your mind and try as best you can to find a solution. In the moment of a disaster, of a fear, of a terror, of whatever it might be, the solution is not in the moment even important. It's not important. What is important is the moment, is this exact moment, and to be interfacing with it on all cylinders. That means all of your energy fields are right there. And then you will begin, for example, if you have a physical illness, and let us say you've just found out that you have one, you will, if you're paying attention, you will feel the terror rise and fall, and then you will go to your mind and find that your mind is the most magnificent computer and it has spilled out at least 90 alternatives. Now, you know that only one of those, and probably none of those, is going to be the net result. And at the moment, it isn't appropriate. What is appropriate is an assimilation of the shock of the energy field that has terrified you. Let me say it again. What is important is the physical assimilation of the shock of the energy field that has entered and is terrifying you. That is what is important. Many children go to horrifying movies and these amusement parks. Haven't you ever wondered why they go up and down on these terrifying roller coasters and so forth? One of the things that they are doing is getting accustomed to a feeling of terror in the body. They are accustoming themselves to a pulsation of terror in the body. And as they begin to understand this, they begin to realize that the world, if they're paying attention, and most children until a certain age, about 7, do pay much more attention probably than their parents, they are paying attention to the fact that these energy fields come and enter them, and then they have to do something. And they learn, depending on who they are, and the training and the background and the country and the culture and the religion and whatever it might be, the belief structure, they do something. But I want you to know everybody does something with it. And as you begin to understand how you deal with these energy fields, you begin to relax. Because what you come to understand, my friends, and this is very important, you begin to feel inside of you that resilient, amazing statement that says, I can do this because I have done it again and again and again and again. I have lived through these pulsations under endlessly difficult circumstances, and I stand here victorious over that. When you connect with the heroic magnificence of your own life, you begin to trust yourself. And when, because who else is there to trust? You see, let's talk a moment about trust. You say, I trust my mother or my father or my lovers or my husband or my wife or I don't know whoever. Now, when you get very simple about that word, in fact, go home and test it out. What does trust mean? You'll find it means something quite different to two people. And when you integrate what you feel trust is with what someone else feels trust is, you'll begin to understand the very strange nature of this word. For some people, trusting someone means you will always do everything to make me feel good, and you will never do anything to make me feel bad. That is a very large order. Or you say, well, I'll take a little bit of pain, but not a lot. I'll take a little bit over here, but I know you'll never give me any of the big ones. Well, you know how well that's worked. Yes. The fact remains that that is not what trust is at all. That is not what trust is. Trust doesn't mean you are going to cram each of you into the same house until one of you dies. That is not what trust means. It means something much more alive, something much more growth-producing, something much more expansive, and something that gives you much more sense of your own absolute abilities. Many of you are frightened because you don't think you can count on yourself. It isn't that you can't count on other, because a part of you knows no matter what promises are made, in the end event, somebody's going to die. So the abandonment's going to happen someday, unless you postulate some great fantasy of going together out of an air balloon over the New Mexico desert, I don't know, something like that. But the idea here is that that different things happen, and that is not what trust is. And this idea of trust based on fear and constriction and demand and some kind of ruling is to give this magnificent energy field of trust very little of what's really do it. It is a magnificent thing. And I ask you, I'm not going to define trust for you because it's going to be very different for each of you in some way. But I think if we could ever get together, I think there would be several commonalities. There would be several things down at the basis of it that we could all say, that. And as you begin to, I hope, think about that today, and as you go through the next weeks, understanding your own relationship to trust within yourself, it puts things in your world in a very different perspective. And it begins, first of all, to take the tension and the stress out of your body and out of the life that you're leading. And when you begin to do this, space opens up. You begin to realize that in some magnificent way, you are trustworthy to yourself. You are trustworthy to yourself in some magnificent, yet unverbalized way. And as that strength begins to build, it builds on real qualities, not on external qualities, not on qualities that come and go or that change with age or whatever it might be. These are qualities that are intrinsic to the magnificence of human awareness and human understanding. And out of that, you begin to walk with great strength in your own life, in your own way. And that creates space. When someone is very confused in what you call an imbalanced state, the basic thing that is lacking is they are afraid that they have no control over the situation. They are afraid that they are being bombarded by energies from the outside that are stronger than anything that they have on the inside. Now, as a statement of fact, that is never true. Never true. Never. The reason for that is simple, and if you think about it, I think you'll all understand it. In fact, you already know it, so let's just remind. The power center for each one of you is very deeply embedded in the matrix of your physical, mental, and emotional bodies. It never leaves the body. It does not go anywhere. It doesn't have to be beckoned to return. You do not have to pray for it. You do not have to ask for it. You do not have to be good to earn it. You just have it. It is, if you want to talk about the God energy here, it is the grace of God's blessing. It is ever present in everyone. And it is that which holds the whole magnificence together. It is the matrix that is ever upholding of all of the seeming separate parts of whatever you perceive the moment to be. Now, many people have had very, very difficult drug experiences. And when they go to someone who knows, what does the person say who knows about it? They say, I would like to talk to the part of you that had enough sense to call me. I want to talk. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the midst of the most disastrous events, there is a part of that person that is absolutely clear and aware. And if you begin to know this in yourself, because my words are not going to change anything. But if you begin to know this in yourself, then you'll be able to trust it deeper and deeper, and then in the same moment, you'll be able to translate that trust into knowing that a part of whatever life is going on of someone that you love outside of your own life, you understand that there is that same integrated, magnificent, majestically wondrous matrix that is throbbing at full power in their life as well. Meaning, you don't have to pity them. Pity is the most ego-based response to a situation that you can possibly have. When you begin to understand how amazingly strong you all are, you yourself, then you begin to have that endearing trust that whatever drama the other has created, that the matrix is alive and well in them as well. The integrity of their choice, the integrity of your choice, the absolute magnificence that arises out of the choices that you've made. I want to tell you something that you all know. In the next years, you are going to have many, many changes. All of you. This planet, everything, change is afoot. And that is not a negative statement. It is the excitement of presenting you with the ground in which to absolutely make real all of the dreams that you have ever had. Now, let us repeat this in a different way. If you've looked around, you will realize that there are not a lot of so-called totally enlightened people wandering around your life. And you may wonder why that be so. I want to tell you this, and when we meet on the other side, whatever that is, let's have a good laugh. Let's have a good laugh. More of you are going to reach full as you can in human sense, enlightenment in the next 10 years than has happened in the last 10,000. Why? Two things. One, the energy that is here and ever increasingly coming has as its basic matrix of intention, may I say that again? Its basic matrix of intention to bring the flood of light to you in your body, in this lifetime, now. All of this speeding up of your life is not pointless. For one thing, you end up getting rid of the bits and pieces of karma. And don't underestimate that. I rarely talk about karma, but it is one of the pieces in the wholeness of things. And you can understand why we keep saying, whatever you do, whatever relationships you leave, for heaven's sake, do it with as much love and compassion and humor as you can. Finish it up with humor and the letting go. Do it with as much grace of being as you can. Because it's the ending time for a lot of things. And when you begin to understand that inside of you, then each moment is very important. Someone, say you work in a store. Whoever walks in, be careful. You never know which piece of karma is walking through the door. And I don't mean to make you start worrying and become, you know, paranoid about this, but to understand that every moment is as important and expansive and exciting for this transformation as any other moment. More of you are going to take in this incredible vortex of power and use it, and that is going to be the time. Many people talk about bringing the golden years to the planet. Don't worry about the planet. Worry about you. Worry about your part in this. You are part of the majesty of this absolute wonder. And as you begin to claim that the energy's here, the willingness is there, if you're willing, it's all a matter of willingness. Are you willing? If you are willing, then you go around saying, I'm willing, I'm willing. And since you don't know how to do this, do you know how to do this? You don't know how to do this. If we took a vote, every one of you would say, this way, this way, this way. No, my teacher's is this way, and your teacher's is this, and you're, boof. You don't know. But you don't need to know, because the wonderful thing is this vortex, this coming in of energy, is not stupid. You see? It has as its basic power center knowing what it's doing and knowing what it's here for. You may not know why you're here. It does. It knows. You, all I'm asking is to begin, if you want to talk about trust, if you can't trust anything else, just trust that as things speed up, it is absolutely your moment. It is the moment for your transformation, if you want it. Do it now or do it later, but you will do it. And why not now? And that means, in this terminology, in our phrasing, very simple. You just watch. You begin to be aware of awareness, of the moment, moment, moment. Every moment you are, there's a part of you that is absolutely the same as the moment before. There is a part of you that you are so absolutely familiar with that you have overlooked it. There's something so big and so immense about your being that you have absolutely forgotten to notice it. And as you begin to watch, you will say, ah, what? Yeah, interesting. Thoughts are moving. Ah, and you begin to get a sense of the motion of thought. And you begin to realize that between thought and at the end of sentence thought, there's vast open space. There's great, great open space. As you begin to watch your breathing, we've done this in many, many workshop situations, as you watch your breathing, as you breathe in, just before the natural motion of the breath is to go out, there is a moment, a space. Be aware of it. And then the exit breath goes down, and then there is a moment and a space. Be aware of it. Be aware of all of those moments, those empty, magnificent, empty moments. And as you begin to do so with your breath, with your thought, with your action, when you're not always in motion, and if you're just seated in the silent moment, moment after moment, you begin to understand the feeling tone that is so prevalent every instant that you have overlooked it. You know, some people are surprised that they breathe because they're never paying attention. So there's a great amazement when they begin meditation. Oh, I breathe. Not only do I breathe, but my breathing has patterns. My breathing changes. My breathing is this, my breathing is that. All of that is why we keep saying, just sit down and be still. Just try it. Just do it. And as you begin to understand, please, if you want to make this very complicated, go ahead. But it is very simple. And the reason I ask you not to get too complex is that there isn't a lot of time. And the more complex the path, the longer it's going to take. Because remember, in most paths, there's a beginning, middle, and end. And if you've just started one, then you have to go through the middle all the way to the end. You see, and that may take a lot longer than you want. So whatever path you're on, understand that you are, whatever path you're on, that path is grounded in the pathless path. That path is grounded in the absolute moment of total awareness. And paths rise and fall within that awareness. And when you become aware of the seeming dual nature of being on a path, but at the same time, that path is immensely surrounded by this moment. Because you see, the path leaves you the minute you stop thinking about it. The path is gone. You know, it isn't like it sits there and waits for you and says, well, come back, dear. You know, get on this path again. So stop and think of what it means to be on a path. And what it usually means is, as long as you're focused on it, then you and the path are on each other. All right? You're just working together. When you're not with that path, where is it? Well, it doesn't matter. People come to me and they say, I feel so badly, I can't follow all the things you told me to do, and I absolutely have to roar. If you have listened to all the things we have suggested, you would realize that you would have nothing else to do from day to night to day to night is to follow all of the things. Because the things and the ways and the pointers are not it. You select from all of the choices those things that feel familiar and exciting and expansive for you. And at the same moment, you, with good humor, realize that every path is grounded in the absolute wonder of awareness. And it will rise and live and the path will die. But there is something that will never die, and it is that magnificent, ever-present, experiential sense of I am. I am. There is an I ever-present. And it is that. Going back to that, in the midst of everything else, going back to that again and yet again and yet again. It is in that that the reality, with a capital R, of the ever-present light of awareness begins to manifest itself physically, mentally, emotionally. And then you see, and then you know, and then you awaken. You are awake. You are awake. You are already fully enlightened. And the greatest obstacle to knowing that is your belief that you are not. Understand that with your being and be free. It's all here in this moment. There's nothing you need. There's nothing lacking. It's here. And the wisdom of so many of you. Why are there so many people on this planet? Do you know there's a lot of you? Why? People say, there's too many. I say, no, no, no. Everybody wants to get in on the ending. They want in. They want to be here. You've gone to a lot of trouble to pull down all of this. A lot. So, I don't care whether you have money or no money. I don't care whether you're healthy or sick, or I don't care what. You were smart. You picked it. You're here. You're now. This moment is it. Spiritually, you have never made a better choice. So congratulations. Because some of you had to go through a lot to get it, to get here at this time. Meaning that you had to take a rebirth before certain things were straightened out, so that you have some difficulties that you have to live with. But I want you to say, I don't care what your circumstances, I want to say, well done. Good choice. Now use it. Am I saying the world is going to end? That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this power has an amazing capacity to transform. And it is that transformation, and it's going to mean becoming a vehicle of such power that the old is going to begin to shake. And in the shaking of the old, in the breaking open, the light will be present. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Well, you're always very patient with this harangue. For those of you who would enjoy it, we have 10 minutes of meditation.
Good morning again. I'd like to add some clarification to last month's tape on the workshops. At the end of that tape, I gave you information on how to register for the workshops, where to send your money, what the deposits were, etc., etc. What I'd like to do is now tell you what the workshops are about. These workshops are being held in Taos, both of them. The first one is June 5th and 6th, and it is titled Chaos and Change and How to Deal with It. Chaos and change are events filled with tremendously useful energy, and with Bartholomew's help, we can learn to identify, channel, and transform chaos and change into peace, clarity, and excitement. This is the crux of the June 5th, 6th workshop this summer. This is the one that will be held at the Mabel Dodge House. The August workshop is being held August 28th and 29th. And this one is titled, Identifying Your Personal Myth. With Bartholomew's help, we can uncover our personal heroic journey and our purpose for this incarnation. He states that when we examine our journey carefully, the results are an increased feeling of the appropriateness of our past choices and actions, our respect and gratitude to ourselves, and hope and anticipation about the future. This is the workshop that will be held at the Austin House this year. Also an in-residence workshop. In other words, to sign up for this workshop, you must stay at the Austin House. This is because of the location. It is not in the ski valley, but on the way to the ski valley, and quite a distance away from town. So hopefully this will add to your knowledge of the Taos Summer Workshops, and we hope to see you there. Thank you.